Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a veterans-to-veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated, extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the last patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Welcome to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Title of our show is Look Around. I'd like to go to the Bible real quick in Isaiah 26:9-11. And Isaiah tells us from the Old Testament, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil, and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people, and be put to shame. Let the fires reserved for your enemies consume them." We're living in a time where we need to really take a look around at what's going on. We need to be sure of what we see. We need to verify information that's coming to us. And one way of verifying that information is looking to the Lord for clarity. As a pastor, sometimes you may think that we're seeing the world through a different lens. Well, actually what we're doing is we're seeing the world through the lens of the truth, and the truth that is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and by reading the Holy Bible. Now, this doesn't make us more adept at looking at things and understanding things, but I tell you what, in my finite mind, I'm just an old dog man. But I know when I see the truth and I hear the truth. And I'm so tired of our country being lied to. I'm so tired of people's agendas getting in the way of the truth, that no matter what they say, getting their agenda through. They're willing to lie, steal, and actually do anything they can to get that philosophy put out. And believe me, folks, it's causing some incredible bad things to happen in our country. We're seeing political unrest. We're seeing people fighting against each other. We're seeing people that at one time collectively built this fantastic country and are trying to rebuild it and bring it back to a good base. Obstructions in all the way that comes to it. Now, I don't agree all the time with what the Pope says, but out of Italy and out of the Vatican City. But sometimes he comes up with something for us all to take a look at. And one of the things that he did on January 24th, and Rutgers reported this, and Philip Pulello was the reporter on this, in Vatican City, says Pope Francis on Wednesday condemned evil of fake news, saying journalists and social media users should not shun and unmask and manipulate what they call, in parentheses, snake tactics that foment division to serve political and economical interests. He said fake news is a sign of intolerant and hypersensitive attitudes and leads only to the spread of arrogance and hatred. That is the end result of untruth. Francis said that it was first documented by a pope on this subject. It was issued after months of debate on how much fake news may have influenced the 2016 U.S. presidential campaign and the election of President Donald Trump. The document called The Truth Will Set You Free, Fake News and Journalism is for Peace, which issued in advance for the Catholic Church World Day on Social Communications on May 13th. Now, speaking of fake news can serve to advance specific goals, influence political decisions, and serve economic interests. The people write condemning the manipulative use of social networks and other formats of communications. This false but believable news is captious in so much as it grasps people's attention by appealing to stereotypes and common social prejudice, and exploding instantaneous emotions like anxiety, contempt, anger, and frustration, he said. False stories spread so quickly that even authoritative denials often cannot contain the damage done by many people, run the risk of becoming unwilling accomplices and spreading bias and baseless items. He called for the education of truth that would help people discern, evaluate, and understand news in order to recognize the sly and dangerous form of seduction and worms in its way to the heart with false and alluring arguments. Francis compared the use of fake news to the Bible story of the devil, who, disguised as a serpent, persuaded Eve to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. He said she was fed wrong information by Satan. We need to unmask what could be called the snake tactics used by those purveyors of fake news who disguise themselves in order to strike at any time and place, he said. He said the role of journalists was not just a job, it's a mission, and they had particular responsibilities to stem fake news. Amid feeding frenzies and a mad rush for a scoop, they must remember that the heart of information is not the speed in which it is reported or its audience impact, but persons, he said. Journalism should be less concentrated on breaking news than on exploring the underlying causes of conflicts. A journalism committed to pointing out alternatives to the escalation of shouting matches and verbal violence. What are we seeing? We're seeing in this country is exactly some of the things that he's talking about there. But the fake news, the serpent, the Satan serpent, does have an agenda, and their agenda is not for our betterment. Their agenda is to take control of us. Their agenda is to completely remove what we believe our freedom to choose. Our own religion, and to believe and worship when we can. We're seeing a lot of tactics being used. We're seeing forces that really want to destroy the United States, and not only just the United States, but bring this whole world under one world order of control. We have made some mistakes in this country by going in that direction of wanting to be part of this one world controlling government and not seeing or hearing what our people are suffering from. how many times, those of you that live on the East Coast or in New York and different places like this that never get out to the Heart Country, have not seen the decay, have not seen the small towns that are going, the factories that used to support small towns that have left, and those towns are crumbling up. You haven't seen, you have seen, but you have not looked at cities like Detroit, where huge factories that once stood, and this was the center of the world of automotive production and innovation, has declined, has crumbled. And this should not be so. And it's been systematically happening because of misinformation, fake news, and other agendas. Companies are being destroyed from within, and also because of policies that prevent fair trade. A lot of people are balking that what's happening is that fair trade needs to be fair trade. I'm not going to go on a whole rant about that, but I think it's exactly what the word says. If our companies have to pay 25 to 45 to 50 to 275% tariffs are charged to us by selling a product to another country, and there you have products that come to us which are receiving 4 or 5% tariff, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. And that completely destroys our country, where we start relying on other manufacturing from outside our country. It's important that we become self-sufficient again. It's important for all of us to become self-sufficient when it comes to self-sufficient in our life, that we're not relying on everybody else or relying on promises made by those that are not going to keep the promises. All they want to do is keep the power. We recently lost one of America's great thinkers, and we're going to see as this goes, as the years go by, and we look back at some of the materials that Charles Krauthammer had written about, and some of the observations he made were spot on. And unfortunately, it usually happens that when we lose somebody important like that, that it takes missing somebody that we know or not, we're never going to hear from again, only through what he's already said or has already been recorded. We long to take a look at that. Fortunately, some of the things that we are discussing, Charles Krauthammer had nailed, right on the button with this. We're going to read a couple of these articles that Dr. Krauthammer had said. And Charles Krauthammer, what a magnificent man. What a great story. I advise you to go online and look up about the information. Take a look at some of the specials since his death that they've talked about. What a brilliant person, a brilliant man. And I think some of the things that he talked about were absolutely spot on. And we will take a look at that. But before we do, I want to thank in this broadcast, recently for the last several weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, we've been involved with getting organized and getting out there to the Vet Fest. And it took us away from being able to get our show on regular. And we're hope to be back and start producing more and more shows, of course. And I want to thank you for those that are listening, that you take the time and listen to our shows. And I ask you, please, spread the shows out. Share them with friends. Share them with other folks. Download them. Take them wherever you want to go. Let your friends download them. Because that's what our network is about. Veterans Radio Ministries is just that. It's a ministry for veterans. But as you know in our opening monologue or opening intro feed that we always talk about, it's for all patriots. It's for all those that love this country. It's for all those that want the best for our country. And for those that support that, for our police, firefighters, EMS, first responders, emergency personnel, and military personnel, that we are behind them 100%. Those of us that are veterans also want to support our veterans when they come home. We want to be able to take a look at our older veterans, which I'm afraid I'm probably one of those now. You could consider that an older veteran. Take a look at their needs. Take a look at what the country can do. All of us have stories out there that we're fighting against a bureaucratic mess when it comes to the VA and it comes to different things. There are things that are being changed out there, and I hope they're being changed for the good. A lot of times that we have fought a fight out there that seems to be like fighting against a windmill. It is sometimes you lose hope, but you can't lose hope. Help's on the way, what we hear, and we know that the Lord's behind us. That I pray right now for all our veterans out there that are having the issues, and that if they're having issues with the VA or any of these situations where they're not getting a fair shake, Lord, please bless them. Cover them, Lord. Cover them with your spirit. Cover them with your love. And, Lord, find ways to get these doors open for them. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I stated before in my broadcasts and for our radio show, sometimes when I'm reading things, I may mess up. I have dyslexia, and sometimes I will see things, letters in the wrong place, numbers in the wrong position. That sometimes affects even the way I speak. Sometimes I can even stutter. Sometimes I can have what you call one of those moments where I just stop. But it's gotten better under the Lord, I have to say this. I would have never believed, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, that I would be hosting a radio show that goes worldwide. It's truly a miracle for me. It's a miracle for that the Lord is using me, this old dog man, as a voice out there in the wilderness. Now, this article is about Charles Krauthammer, that he, during his absence, you know, unfortunately, everybody was hoping that he'd be coming back. But cancer took over, and unfortunately, Dr. Krauthammer passed away. But while he was out, he was still writing and still thinking and still writing things down, and he came up with some pretty neat stuff, some stuff that is really searching. It gives one to ponder what's really going on. Now, here's Charles Krauthammer's take on our President Trump. He says, to my friends of different persuasions, I'm not trying to sell anyone or anything or anyone, but I do feel this is an interesting take on our very controversial president, who I truly believe is not a Republican or a Democrat. Here's a take on Donald Trump. A different take on Donald Trump, a non-political agenda. Trump is not a liberal or a conservative. He's a pragmatist. The definition of pragmatist is someone who is practical and focused on reaching a goal. A pragmatist usually has a straightforward, matter-of-fact approach and doesn't let any emotion distract him or her. He said, we recently enjoyed a belated holiday dinner with our friends at the home of our others' friends. The dinner conversation varied from discussions about antique glass and China to theology and politics, and at one point, reference was made to Donald Trump being a conservative, to which I responded that Trump is not a conservative. I said that I neither view nor do I believe Trump views himself as a conservative. I stated in my opinion that Trump is a pragmatist. He sees a problem, he understands it, must be fixed. He doesn't see the problem as liberals or conservatives see it, is only as a problem. That's a quality that should be admired and applauded, not condemned. But I get ahead of myself. Viewing problems from a liberal perspective has resulted in the creation of more problems, more entitlement programs, more victims, more government, more political correctness, and more attacks on the working class and all economic strata. Viewing things according to the so-called Republican conservative perspective has brought continued spreading of globalism to the detriment of American interests and well-being, denial of what the real problems are. Weak, ineffective, misquoted leadership that amounts to Barney Fife, or milquetoast leadership, which amounts to Barney Fife, deputy sheriff. Appeasement-oriented and afraid of its own shadow. In brief, it's brought about liberal ideology with a pachyderm as a mascot, and just as opposed to as the ass of the Democratic Party. Immigration isn't a Republican problem. It's a liberal problem. It's a problem that themselves, the very fabric and infrastructure of America. It demands a pragmatic approach, not an approach that is intended to appease one group or another. The impending collapse of the economy wasn't a liberal or conservative problem. It's an American problem. That said, until it is viewed as a problem that demands a common-sense approach to resolution, it will never be fixed because the Democrats and Republicans know only one way of fixing things, and longevity of their impracticality has proven to have no lasting effect. Successful businessmen like Donald Trump find ways to make things work. They do not promise to accommodate. Trump uniquely understands that China's manipulation of currency is not a Republican problem, or a Democratic problem. It's a problem that threatens our financial stability and understands the proper balance needed to fix it. Here again, successful businessmen like Trump, who have weathered the changing tides of economic reality, understand what is necessary to make business work. And they, unlike both sides of the political aisle, know that if something doesn't work, you don't continue trying to make it work, hoping that at some point it will. A pragmatist, Donald Trump has made wild, pie-in-the-sky promises of a cell phone in every pocket, free college tuition, and a $15-hour minimum wage for working the drive-through at Carl's Hamburgers. I agree that America needs pragmatists because pragmatists see a problem and find ways to fix them. They do not see a problem and compound it by creating more problems. You may not like Donald Trump, but I suspect that the reason some people do not like him because he is antithetical to the good old boy method of brokering backroom deals and fattening the coffers of politicians. They are unaccustomed to hearing a president speak who is unencumbered by the financial shackles of those who he owes, vice versa, donations. He is someone who is free of idiomatic political ideology. He says what he's thinking, and unapologetic for his outspoken thoughts, speaks very straightforward, using everyday language that can be understood by all, and is offensive to some who dislike him anyway. Making him a great communicator, for the most part, does what he says he will do, and he is someone who understands that it takes more than a hollow promise and political correctness to make America great again. Listening to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders talk about fixing America is like listening to two lunatics trying to out-crazy one another. Jeb Bush, Don Kasich, Marco Rubio are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the bankers and corporations and big-dollar donors funding their campaigns. Bush can deny it, but common sense tells anyone willing to face the facts that people don't give tens of millions without expecting something in return. We've had a Democrat and Republican ideologues, and what has it brought us? Are we better off today or worse off? Has it happened overnight, or has it been a steady decline brought on by both parties? I submit that the pragmatist is just what America needed right now. People are quick to confuse and despise confidence and arrogance, but that is common among those who have never accomplished anything in their lives. Our politicians who never really solved a problem because it's better to still have an issue to be solved, so re-elect me to solve it, which never happens. And those who have always played it safe, again, all politicians, not willing to risk failure to try and achieve success. Donald Trump put his total financial empire at risk in running for president and certainly did not need or possibly even want the job. That says it all. He wants success for the U.S. and her citizens because he loves his country. God bless America. We've lost an incredible voice, a voice of reason, a voice of intellect. May you rest in peace, Dr. Charles Krauthammer. The title of our show today, of course, is Look Around. In order to look around and see what's going on, you have to have reference to understand what is happening. You have to have a reference point to be able to understand and actually see what's happening in front of you. What do I mean by a reference point? If somebody's never seen the ocean and you take them and try to explain that to them, and the only thing you can say is a large body of water that you cannot see across and you can't see where it begins or can't see where it ends, all you can see is standing at the beach, they would have no idea, no reference point. For those that have seen the ocean or have a concept of how big the ocean is, they have a reference point to look at. What's happening in our society is that reference point is being dulled, that the reference point is being not taught. For instance, simple things like geography. When you take a look at a globe and you look at the different countries and how they interact or where their borders are, or places that they are trying to project their influence, without knowing geography, without actually understanding the concept of a map of the world, you're really kind of lost. You have no idea how these things can affect. One of the reasons we've been taking a close look of what's happening in some of our series on China and the updates of what China is doing is we refer to a map, of course, and I invite you, for those that know the situations that's happening strategically in the world, to educate other people about that. Not with your opinions, but with cold hard facts. For instance, when you take a look at the history of World War I and II, how the expansion and how Germany was trying to spread out its influence by taking over these other countries because there are strategic points that they wanted. For instance, they wanted a deep sea port that they did not have, so they took over Czechoslovakia. These things are important for us to realize. This also happened in World War II in the Japanese theater, where Japanese expansion went all the way through the Pacific Rim on the eastern part of the Pacific Rim. The Philippines, different countries like this, which were involved. It's important for us to note that total spread of that forces were set up stage by stage, and like a cancer, grew and was very large, difficult to stop as it got a foothold. And as we're seeing today, as we take a look at what's happening, and I've been trying to keep as close as up to date as information by looking around and getting information from different sources, and also taking a look at some strategic planning which has happened in history, that's happened in the past, and seeing that happen again. All this leads to this. We need to make ourselves aware of what's going on around us. In the spiritual world, that's a fight. And it's a good fight. And 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, Augustine wrote, God loves each of us, and if there were only one of us, as if there were only one of us, he loves us individually. It's important to know that we're not here alone. Sometimes life can throw us for a loop. Sometimes we can get pretty banged up from life and have scars. But remember that these scars that we have and what we see going on around us, we need to be aware, we need to take a retrospect look at what's happening. It's so important, awareness. And many years of teaching security and security tactics, and also teaching civilians and firearms, and as a former law enforcement firearms instructor and civilian instructor and statewide certified security instructor, one of the things that I find it so important that we teach people awareness, that we teach people to be aware of the surroundings and be aware of danger points that they need to look into. Recently, one of the people at Trinity Church, where I do security operations. I kind of oversee the security operations for the church. And I had a meeting with the folks and kind of talked to them a little bit about awareness and so forth, and being able to do simple things like when you approach your car in a parking lot to do a walk around, look in the windows, look at the tires, look at anything that may be could be a danger, not only for a physical danger, but there might be something there that could impede your car. It could be something underneath the car, a cart or something that's left there. You want to make sure also that your tires are okay, that nothing is leaked, that you don't have a flat tire. These are just regular security checks. These are just should become a natural thing for you to do. And as you're walking through the parking lot, one of the things I stressed, of course, is get that cell phone out of your hand and out of your face, and use your eyes and ears to look around. Now, when we take a look at the world stage of things that are happening there, we also need to take a look around at what's going on. Get the indicators of what's happening. As I said at the beginning of this talk, if you have no reference point, then you have no way to interpret the danger or interpret the telltale signs of what's happening around you. We need to be very vigilant about this. We need to ask for wisdom. We need to educate ourselves. And the wisdom what's going around in this world with the expansion, with evil forces, and they are evil forces out there that are trying to control this world. We need to be aware of who they are, what they are, where they are, what they're doing, and what their plans are. And sometimes the most obvious things are that their plans, that they're telling us what they want to do. Right up front, they're saying, we want to control the world. We want to have our ideology spread worldwide, that we are going to, some of these ideologies are not the what you want. They're completely controlling this world order, this things like this that you hear about. It's exactly in what it says, world order. That means that they're going to make the decisions, that they're going to make the laws that will you're going to be ordered around. Simply said, you're going to be ordered by the world order of what to do, what you can't do, when you can do. And there are other countries out there that are seeking expansion. They're seeking to take control, and we need to be aware of these things. Step by step, we're seeing that our country is being put back in a position where we are a powerful country. We're still the most powerful country in the world. We got to pray for our leadership, pray that they make the right decisions, that they put the right people there, and that the Lord graces us with the wisdom to head off these things that could cause a world turbulence, could cause World War III. We know in the book of Revelations, it tells us that there will be an end. We pray that those of us that are believers, we pray and we understand that these things will come to an end. And at some day, and it could be the timetable is not clear, but we know we are in the end days. But also in this situation is a situation of hope. We know that the Lord is reaching out. He's reaching out to save as many as he can. He's like that shepherd that's the flock is scattered, but he's trying to bring them all back into the safety of his protection. We need to take heed to that. You know, as I said before, sometimes life does have its bumps and does has you do get your bruises, you do get some situations. But see, you're a child of God. He wants to protect you and provide for you in every way. But sometimes we foolishly wade into dangerous situations, not knowing what lies ahead. The swimming hole of life is filled with peril. We often forget that the enemy is waiting there to attack us. God loves you, but Satan wants you suffering and in pain. When God sees that Satan has a hold of you like an attacking alligator, that's when the tug of war begins. God has promised to never let you go, and he fights to pull you back to safety. So if some of you have scars, be very grateful. Those scars are because he did not and will not ever let you go. Here in Florida, we tend to use alligators as they've been around ever since for a long time here in Florida. They were here before people were. And we understand here in Florida that the encroachment of population into these swamp areas, that you're going to get a blowback. You've seen the pictures where you have these huge alligators walking down the middle of golf courses. And, well, that used to be their land, you know, and some of these alligators, they live pretty old, and they come back, you know, they visit these areas. Look at it this way. An alligator can stay in one area for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden wants to wander back to another area where he used to go and swim and find fish. And all of a sudden he finds a golf course there, or he finds a housing development. It's completely alien to him. And he's kind of wondering, what the heck's going on? This wasn't that way. I know alligators, they may not be deep thinkers, but I think their instincts are something they try to follow. And when their instincts are run askew because not aware of what's happening around them, they run into trouble. Let's don't be like that alligator. Let's don't lay dormant in our pond or in our swamp and then decide, well, let's go visit someplace else and not know anything about it, or let's go over here, or let's be aware of what's around us. Let's be aware of the changes. And that's why it's important for us to keep abreast of what's happening, not only in the news, but worldwide, and get it from different perspectives. As a radio host, what I try to do is I go through a briefing each morning, and what I do is I have certain websites that I go to, and I'll cover the whole gamut. I'll go from international to local to also to nationwide, and I try to get as much information as I can. And certain writers that I have found and checked out, their stories and have double-checked their stories and I find to be truthful writers, I'll kind of trust. For instance, like we read that information from the late Charles Krauthammer. He was somebody you could trust, that he's going to give you an honest opinion, his opinion, from an educated observation post is what we should be having. And an educated observation post is somebody that knows what they're looking for. In World War II, up on the coast of Florida, there used to be watchtowers that were looking for submarines and looking for enemy ships, our enemy aircraft. Believe it or not, we had a lot of ships that were sunk by German torpedoes from submarines right off the coast of Florida. I mean close off the coast of Florida, 2 to 3 miles out. People in the at night could see the ships burning, see the light burning during the daytime. But most of the time the attacks happened in the evening or at night. But back to these watchtowers that were up and down the coast of Florida, up and down the East Coast. In those watchtowers also was a book that would had the outlines of ships and submarines and give the people up there an idea of what to look for. And they were trained. They were trained. The Coast Guard was there also, and they were trained to what to look for. They were trained what type of enemy aircraft, what they look like. And these are things that we need to see. Before we man that observation deck, before we get in that observation tower, we need to have an idea of what we're looking for. May I suggest that the first place to look is in the Bible. The first place to look is to find out what the truth is. And the first place to look also is in your heart. Are you accepting the truth? Is the truth being revealed to you? These are things that we'll talk about at a later date. But it's important to know that you are there with the backup and the knowledge of what to look for. This today's world is scary sometimes, and sometimes these problems will affect us. And not only when we're looking at worldwide problems, there's not much that you think that you can't do, but there is. You know, knowledge is a very powerful thing, and that knowledge spread to the right people can make things change. Positive truth, not something that's made up, but the truth of knowledge. God uses problems, and uses them for five things that he uses them for us personally. First of all, to direct you. He uses these to direct you. He uses them to inspect, to correct you, protect you, and to perfect. The main thing to keep is the main thing. Don't be close to church, but far away from God. And another thing, if they film your life, would Jesus want to come to your movie? And the most important part, in that movie of your life, at what point is he in your movie? Here's five ways that God uses problems. The problems you face will either defeat you or develop you. And all of our own, and how you respond to them. Many people don't see how God wants to use problems for God for good. They resent their problems and they resent God. Some people have the question when a problem comes, God must hate me to let me have problems in my life. That's not true. That's not true at all. We're not guaranteed a problem-free life. But sometimes when we're making the wrong decisions, when we make the wrong decisions, problems are going to arise. And sometimes they have to be their ways of teaching us. See, God uses problems to direct you. Do not touch that. It's hot. Touch it and what happens? And keep touching it and you do have a problem, don't you? Talking about the little kid in the stove. Don't touch that pot. It's hot. The way two is five, God uses problems to inspect. In the Christian life, there are trials and temptations. Successfully overcoming these adversities produce maturity and strong character. He also wants you to see what you have inside you, to see what now inside you, what you may need to have now. The third way, of course, God uses problems to correct. You are corrected, you will try harder not to fail. And the fifth way, of course, is God uses problems to protect you. The prayer God has for me all the time, I don't know how, from war to today, still holds true. He uses them to perfect you. He uses them to make you whole, to make you closer to him. You see, Proverbs 20:30 tells us, stripes and wounds scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. blows that wound cleans away evil, and strokes reach to the innermost part. Now, we're not just talking about physical. We're talking about sometimes these things happen emotionally. And James 2 through 3, consider this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I, for one, have seen people, as soon as a problem comes, that they hate the problem, that they hate everything about it, and they hate everything that's going on. And that's not the attitude to take. The attitude to take, of course, when something like this happens in a problem, is that it's going to defend you. It's going to define who you are. Character is an important word. Character means that how do you handle this problem? Character also tells us and tells other people and shows other people that a person of good character, a person of has been through the ring, has been through the bad situations and have come up on top with the help of the Lord, building character. It shows somebody that has a trust. It shows somebody that has a faith higher than them. Don't resist trouble when they come. Here's the key, folks. Don't resist trouble when they come. Pray for wisdom, and God will supply all you need to face the persecution or adversary. He will give you patience and keep you strong in times of trial. One of the things that happen quickest when trouble happens is to lose patience. To lose patience and throw your hands up and just give up. This is not the way to face it. This is not the way to face it at all. In Psalm 119, 65 through 80 tells us, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good, discernment, and knowledge. For I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your status. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands made me and fashioned me and gave me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for you and your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O may your lovingness comfort me, according to you, your word, your servant. May your compassion come to me, that I may live. Your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so I will not be ashamed." These are inspiring words. The Bible has so much that we can learn from, so much that can help us in these turbulent times, in these times where we're seeing this disorder, where we're seeing all the things that are going askew. Sometimes we need to take a break. Sometimes we need to go and just read and ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and give us the wisdom that we need to have. The best place to do that is a quiet place. And I'm talking about a quiet place in your heart and a quiet place in your mind. To go into that special quietness and be able to listen and hear with your heart. That's where you need to be. As I was saying, we were at the Vet Fest and were able to meet some great people there, some talented musicians. And one that I like a lot is Steve Brown. Steve Brown's a Navy vet who's a good Christian artist also. And he has a great song, and I hope you get a chance. He has a great song. He is a great musician. I'd like for you to listen to this song, and it's called "I Am Here."
I can see the pain inside you, know you feel alone.
think all have forsaken you, left you on your own. You feel like no one loves you, but you live like there's no pain. You're dying on the inside, nothing left to gain. But I am here. I am here when you're lonely. I'm here when you're afraid. Wanna hold you when you're hurting. Calm your fears. Wanna be a friend to you and dry your eyes with my love. Please call to me, love to talk with you. I am here. Well, you think your scars are too deep for them to ever heal. Believe me, child, I know exactly how you feel. For I have scars I took for you, and I shed my blood and tears, that you might have a life with me. Know that I am here, I am here. I am here when you're lonely. I'm here when you're afraid. Wanna hold you when you're hurting, calm your fears. Wanna be a friend to you, dry your eyes with my love. Please call to me, I'd love to talk with you. I am here. Please come to me, child, I love you. I am here.
That was Steve Brown, and if you would like to hear more from Steve Brown, let me suggest that you go to www.stevebrown.org, www.stevebrown.org. Listen to some of his music there, and I think you're really going to enjoy what he has to say. What a delightful person to meet, him and his, they have what they call the Vet Variety Show. It's a wonderful show. We're hoping to bring them into the Tampa area this fall, early this winter, here in the great state of Florida, where it's nice and warm at that time of year. But we really enjoyed his music. The message is so important. He is here. The Lord is here. He's here. He's who we need to go to. He's our rock, our refuge, in which we can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. That's in Psalm 71, verse 3. My integrity, my uprightness, protect me because of my hope is in you, God. That's in Psalm 25:21. And Isaiah 40:28-29 tells us, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Amen. Amen. We hope you enjoyed the Last Patrol Radio Show, and I'm asking a special favor for those out there. If you can download this show, and if you can send it to your friends, and share the word. That's what we're all about. If you know of any internet radio programs or any radio stations that may want to hear this show, send it to them. See what they think about it, and give them all my contact information. They can reach me, of course, at VeteransRadioMinistry.com, VeteransRadioMinistry.com, all one word. And we'd more than happy to be able to talk to them, provide shows for their radio, internet shows, their podcasts. We're trying to make this thing go as much as we can to reach out there to our vets, to our patriots, to those that love America and those that protect America and those families that support and those patriots that support and help all those that are on that front line. We live in a great country. God has blessed us to be in this country, and we really need to take heed to that. I'm going to play a song that Suzanne O'Neill Clark, who is a wonderful Christian artist that I met also at the Vet Fest. I hope you enjoy the song. And we'll be closing out with the song, but remember, the Last Patrol Radio Show, we're there because we care. We hope that you get a chance to listen to our show, and as I said before, spread the word, spread the show. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it. Email your friends about it. Text them. Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him, touch his name upon the wall. He's one of a million unsung heroes, the story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with a song.